Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Pray that the Lord's peace is upon you and that as we continue to make our way through these extraordinary times, these unprecedented times, unprecedented challenges in many ways for all of us, that we can together lean into the Lord's purpose for all of us and to be able to draw from Him. You know, friends, one of the things that many people, I think, have spoken about over the last couple of months as we've made our way through this trial and this crisis and the pandemic and adjusting to it, adjusting our lives to it, just to think of the amazing reality that the entire world has been shut down for a period of time and continuing to be in many places in the world. And I had this thought last week, thinking that the whole world doesn't get shut down without the Son of God, without Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the King of all nations, the one through whom all this was made, without the Lord somehow signing off on it. I don't mean to say that Jesus is the source of the pandemic, but I think it's happened under His permissive will, and His hand is on everything in the world. I mean, He's overseeing everything. The Lord, He really is present, and He really is leading. And in the context of this reality that He's permitting, there's so many ways in which Jesus is at work. Like the Lord plays like on 10 chess tables at the same time. There's so many things that He's accomplishing. There's a discipline of the church that keeps going deeper. There's possibly here a present, a judgment on the world and some of the ways of the world and some of the ways we need to turn back to Him and to be able to live in a way that's more sane and in accord with the way in which we were made. But clearly one of the things the Lord is doing is drawing us out of the normal habit patterns of life to get us off the treadmill and to put us in a situation of almost a monastic situation where our lives are literally now quarantined and we simply can't do the kind of things that filled our days. And so it gives us an opportunity to come away with Him. And clearly part of what's happening is the Lord is getting our attention and He wants to talk to us. Each and every one of us. He wants us to draw near to Him. He wants us to be able to go deeper in our relationship with Him, to take an assessment of where we are in relationship to Him, and then to come away into the quiet. It may be hard for some families to find quiet. Maybe you've got a full household and it just is intense. The Lord wants each of us to find a time of quiet, whether it's a short time each day or some of us who have a longer period of time available to us just because of the situation we're in. And He wants us to draw near. The letter of James says, you know, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. The Lord wants to draw near to us because He knows the church is in a place where she's weak and distracted. She's accommodating to the world in many ways, and that she needs to be purified and needs to come to a place of laying hold again of a relationship with Christ where He's our first love, where He's the center of our life. And we're leaning on Him, abiding in Him. And so that requires, remember a book Father Henry Nouwen wrote, a small little book called The Ways of the Heart, something like that, I think it was called. And in it, he talked about the importance of leaders in the church, but just the people of God to come to a place where we recognize that all our fruitfulness, all our capacity to live in love, to extend God's kingdom, to fulfill God's plan and purpose in our lives, depends upon our being united to the Lord profoundly. And he said that only happens if we find a place of solitude in our lives and carve it out each day. And in that solitude, to lay hold of the silence and to be able to hear the Lord's voice in our own heart, to develop the habit of coming before the Lord and just being quiet and being present to Him and listening to Him so that we can hear His voice. We can come to see more fully how He sees us, the delight that He has for us, the love that He has for us, the plan and the purposes that He has for us, the loving correction that He has for us, so that we can connect with Him more fully and learn how to live from Him so that we can live a life where We're yielded to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. If we're living constantly on the treadmill with an intense pace of life and long lists of all the things we have to do every day, and we actually don't have much room to just be quiet and to listen to Him and to meditate on His Word and to feed on Him, what ends up happening, friends, is we, without intending it, we can drift away and we can begin to live out of our own resources alone and not the resources of the King who's present in us. We're temples of the living God, but He may end up feeling distant. And then we operate on our own ideas, our own resources, our own power. And guess what? It's not enough. It's not enough for us. And that's where people get burned out. That's where people get discouraged. That's where we become susceptible to trying on our own efforts and failing, which we will inevitably do. Then the enemy loves to circle. He loves to circle us at points like that and say, see what you're actually made of. See who you are. You're a hypocrite. You're a failure. God's got to be disappointed in you. And the way we begin to think about ourselves, the storyline that we live under, which is often a heavy burden to carry because it's mostly filled with lies, which leads us to discouragement, sometimes despair, and the enemy just piles on. Then we begin, because we don't know the Lord, we don't know His voice profoundly enough, we don't hear it, we don't trust it, we're listening to a different voice, then what ends up happening is we project onto God the thoughts that are going through our mind, our judgment on ourselves or the enemy's judgment on us. And what that leads to is discouragement, and what the enemy wants to do is to get us to give up finally, to give in, to back away, to see ourselves as somehow displeasing to the Lord, and the Lord's over there somewhere instead of, no, He's right here. He's in you, in your heart. He's in your corner. He knows exactly who you are. He's not surprised by your weaknesses. He's not surprised by your failings. He knows who He's chosen. And He has a storyline for you that's completely different than the one that we often fall into, that we're trying to always dig ourselves out of, and somehow we feel like we can't get out of it. You and I were made by God for God. You and I were made by the Lord, and Jesus came to reveal the Father's love for you, for me, for the whole world. Our hearts are made for Him. Augustine, the famous saying, you know, our hearts are restless until they rest in Him. A lot of the energy that goes out from our long lists of to-dos that often leaves us in a place where we don't have time for the less functional thing or the less productive thing of just sitting silently with the Lord every day, waiting patiently on Him. It's a little bit like Mary of Bethany. Remember how the Mary and Martha story, how Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, probably was after the meal, I would imagine, and Martha comes over and says, hey, Lord, time out. Just remember, I'm over here. Could you give me a hand here? I'm over here working really hard. I'm still cleaning up the dishes. I'm trying to get things straight. And Mary's sitting here, she's not helping me. You know, don't you care? That's what she said to him. Don't you care of this unfair situation that I find myself in? And then here's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. The passage said that Martha was distracted. And then Jesus looks at her, and Jesus loves Martha, and He understands Martha. And He wants Martha to learn something. He said to her, Martha, Mary has chosen the better portion. There she is at His feet, gazing up at Him, and He's teaching. He's opening His heart. He's communicating. And He's communicating His friendship and His love. And it's giving Mary life. And this is the starting point for us. This is something that we absolutely need in our lives. And I think it's one of the reasons why the Lord has permitted everything to be shut down, or nearly everything to be shut down, to shake us. He's shaking the nations. He's shaking them. And we're being shaken in the midst of it. He's like saying, wake up. Wake up. Choose first things first. Come to Me. I want to talk to you. I want to feed you. I want to strengthen you. I want to heal you. I want to unfold the vision that I have for your life. Because it's the most important thing you could possibly have in this world. And the world is deceiving you now a little bit, deceiving us to believe that there's other things that we need to chase after that somehow are more valuable. And we're not evaluating. Our valuation process is not good. We're a little bit like the church in Ephesus. Was it the church in Ephesus where Jesus said, you know, you've lost your first love? We're a little bit like the Laodicean church where we say, no, we're rich, we're happy, we're good, we've got everything under control, Lord. We don't need you. And the Lord said, no. Take a step back. Here's the real situation. You're blind, you're poor, you're naked, you're pitiable, you're not in the condition you think you are. The fact that you have material resources, the fact that you have so much going on in your life blinds you to the reality of where you are in relationship to me. So Jesus then knocks on the door and he says, let me in. I want to come in. And he wants us to take a step. We're like some of the other churches there as well, where in the context of the communities that they were some of the shepherds were allowing false teachers to emerge. The Nicolaitans and others were promoting sexual immorality. The prophetess Jezebel, she was promoting sexual immorality. She was promoting idolatry within the Christian community. And the community was drifting away. And the Lord's discipline and judgment came. There's that particular story about Jezebel. He said, you know, I came to her, to this prophetess, and I warned her, and I gave her a chance to change and to repent. Well, she didn't repent. So you better warn her, because what I'm about to do is I'm going to throw her on a sick bed and I'm going to kill her children. That is, those who are following the false teaching. I mean, really, really strong words. Maybe they're hyperbolic, maybe they're not, but clearly the judgment of God and the discipline of God was coming to shake that church. And the Lord is shaking the whole church, and he's shaking each one of us individually, because he wants our attention, and he wants us to know that he's not afraid of our weakness. We shouldn't be either. That he's got the strength for us, but we cannot live in his strength if we're not living from him and with him. And that means we have to reset our priorities and reset the way we're living our lives and be more radically his, to empty ourselves of the things that we're dragging with us and carrying, the whole economy of our life, the whole order of our life. Is it under the lordship of Jesus? Are we simply Martha? Or are we Martha and Mary? Do we have a Mary of Bethany dimension to our life where we know deep down and said, Lord, first of all, Lord, you're my treasure. You are my first love. And I know, Lord, I can't do anything without you. And I know you made me and you know who I am. Lord, I want you to tell me who I am, but I want to know more of who you are. This relationship is the most important thing in my life, Lord, and it's the foundation of everything. Friends, this is very much a part of what this moment is about. The rest of the week, I want to talk about the journey of St. Peter and what he learned from the Lord by facing his own weaknesses and facing struggles and facing trials. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.